turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We have several handouts for you if you need those. We have, of course, lesson number 17. If you need lesson number 17, raise your hand. And then we have a handout called Daniel's 70 Weeks. It is from our Daniel study from many years ago. So lesson 17, if you need that, or Daniel's 70 Weeks, raise your hands way up here in the front. Mrs. Varnum, we want to welcome her to our class. She was teaching junior high girls, and now she is not, and so she's going to be in our class where she gets fed the word. She could have gone down and got some sort of a bacon, egg, sausage, souffle, I don't know what you call those things, but it really looked good. Yeah, Brother Holland's carnality is starting to kick in. It really looked good, but instead, get the Word of God. Of course, they're getting the Word of God too, so. Anyway, all right, lesson 17, of course, we are in section 4 of our Revelation study, and that is a very large section covering Revelation chapter 6 through 11. I've entitled that section, The Awful Judgments of the Book. And then lesson 17 is entitled, The Apocalyptic Four Horsemen. And it is probably what everybody wants to study Revelation about as you get into this section. The end times, thinking about the tribulation and signs, of course, and things leading up to that, and it is very interesting to speculate. Of course, the Daniel 70 weeks is kind of that's a fun kind of a study as you look at dates and you look at lining up days and all of that, and it's exciting. And we all like that. Let's remember, though, ultimately we believe God's word by faith and not by sight. And, you know, we certainly can look back. We can see so many things God said would happen that did happen. And yet, ultimately, we still trust him by faith and believe by faith. And so our memory verse does deal with one of these four horsemen, Revelation 6 and verse 2, the one on the white horse. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6, 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Revelation 6, 2. And again, Revelation 6, 2. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Revelation 6, 2. Father, please guide us now through the scripture that we're looking at today, especially help us to remember our study from Daniel, and then again, those that were not here, to see the scripture, the 70-week prophecy, to understand that, and I pray that you'll challenge our hearts with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we will go now to, we start in Revelation 6:2, I'm sorry, 6:1. It says, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." I want to remind you now, the Lamb has come. Worthy is the Lamb. He is able to open the book, and so he's opening one of the seals. But it says, "And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold." And so we're now kind of in between verse 1 and verse 2. We just want to bring you to the timeline of where this is in the future, at least where we believe that it is in the future. This has not taken place. This will take place, and I believe it will take place soon, but I know many preachers have said that for many years. So it may be tomorrow. It may be 100 years from now, maybe 1,000 years, we don't know, but the tribulation is The rapture, of course, is the next event that we look for in prophecy, and that ushers in the tribulation. The tribulation is what we are talking about, and in Daniel, it is the last period of sevens, okay? It is the last heptad, if you want the official word. It's a period of sevens. The Jews, of course, had they had days that they talked about, and they talked about 7 days equals a week. 7 days equals a period of seven. And then, of course, 7 years also was called a period of seven. And so that is what we're talking about when we talk about Daniel's 70-week prophecy. It is 70 periods of seven. And those periods of seven are not days, they are years. And so 490 total years. They're actually, when we studied Daniel, we talked about this. I don't have my notes in front of me, but there is a significance to the 490 years. Does anybody know what that is? Brother Hawkins, you probably know what that is. What is the significance of the 490 years? Do you know? No? Anybody? There is a significance as far as the Jews had violated the law. They had violated God's word. Now, do you remember? No?
Yeah, there was 70 years of captivity because they hadn't kept the Sabbath. The land hadn't observed the Sabbath of rest. So God was using that.
Yes. Yeah, so 70 is very important, and the judgment, they were, everything means something in the Scripture, and so it's just not numbers thrown out there. Now, you may have to dig, and you may have to study, you may have to, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and you have to rightly divide the word of truth, and you find some precious, wonderful nuggets when you study the Word of God. But some of it will jump right out and slap you upside the head, and other things you got to dig and dig and dig. But ultimately, there's a reason for everything. So let's go to the 70-week prophecy and go back to that in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Daniel 9. And verse 24, and you kind of set aside your other page there, and I've encouraged you, if you want to take notes, to write them on the back of the Daniel 70 weeks, because you will. I have lots and lots of notes on the other page that is the outline, so you might want to write on the back of this. Daniel 9, go to that if you would, please, and we're going to try to get through this quickly. I cannot spend as much time, obviously, as we did in Daniel, but I just want you to understand this last week. Okay, you look at your chart, you see 70 weeks, which is 490 years. You see 69 weeks right below that, 483 years, and then you see the 70th week. You see a gap in between. We believe we are in that gap in between. Certainly the Bible talks about the gap in between, but it doesn't talk about it in reference to the Jews like it does in as we think of these 70 weeks. So we talked last week about the things that were going to take place that Daniel 9 talked about in that time, and all of it entails Jerusalem. All of it entails Israel. All of it entails God dealing with his people, as he did in the 70-year captivity. He's dealing with his people. It is a punishment to his people and to Israel. And so many of the things deal with Israel. And so, you know, we look at that like, I don't know if I understand that. It is a way to understand the prophecy that is given here. And so, we talked about the different things that were going to take place during that time, and verse 24 gives us a very clear indication. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. again, Daniel 9 and verse 24, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. And we covered all that last week. So all these things are going to take place during those 490 years or those 70 periods of seven, all right? 70 weeks. And again, when we talk about the weeks, we're not talking about weeks of 7 days. We're talking about weeks, the Hebrew, the week, period of 7 years. And so all those things are going to take place during that time. Some of those things have taken place. Some of those things have not taken place. And so we understand clearly that, hey, wait a minute, this is not all fulfilled yet, and it is not. And we're telling you all this because the tribulation literally is that last period of 7 years. It is that last week. As you see on your chart of Daniel's 70 weeks, it is that 70th week that is still to come. And there is no figuring out when that starts. There is no date that you can calculate that last week, because again, the rapture is imminent. That means it could happen at any time, and so there is no date. We just know that when it starts, it'll be 7 years long, and we know a couple dates within that. We'll look at a couple. Well, obviously, as we go through Revelation, we'll look at several things. We know that there's a middle of that period, and you see that on your little picture here. In the midst, the Bible talks about, and there's other scripture that talks about the middle of seven is 3.5, and we might get to some of that today just in dealing with the Jewish calendar. But anyway, so we had to have a beginning of this 70 weeks, and the Bible gave us that. Verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem." Now, again, we talked about four different commandments that could be, four different ideas, four different, if you will, dates. But I believe that it's referring to Nehemiah chapter 2. And that I think fits the very best, and that is the decree to rebuild not only the temple, the wall, the city, but the walls. And the Bible talks here, it says, the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So we came to that, we ended with that last week. We talked about how that we felt, that I felt anyway, Nehemiah, the building of the walls, and then the city, that fits best. That date is 445 B.C. And again, down at the very beginning, you see in your little box there, decree to restore Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2, verses 3 to 8. And we talked about that last week. Again, the Bible mentions that it took 52 days for the walls to be rebuilt, and the liberals say, oh, see, it only took 52 days, and you need a period of 49 years, but the truth is it took 49 years for everything to be rebuilt, and so obviously that takes us to 396 B.C., and then we have 62 more weeks or 434 more years, and again, Daniel 9, verse 25, 62 is 62, all right? So that's where we get that, and so again, that is your timeline right there. And that is given from verse 25. Know therefore, understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. There's our first period. And 62 weeks. There's our second period. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So we now have come to unto the Messiah. All right, and we've come there by our 7 weeks plus our 62 weeks, or if you want to look at it this way, 49 years plus 434 years, and that is where we come to Messiah. Okay, and that's what it says. It says, unto the Messiah, the Prince. Now, key prophecy in Daniel. Of course, the liberals hate it, and you know, they want to discredit it and everything else because they don't believe in God and miracles and everything else. But very key, because the Messiah, the Prince, that's who everybody's looking for. You study your Old Testament, you'll see, I mean, people are looking for the Messiah. They're anxious for the Messiah. A woman is expecting a child, and everybody's excited about it being a boy. And what about the girls? Well, they weren't so, you know, oh well. You know. Okay, good, you're having a girl. Oh, great. I say you're having, they didn't know back, they didn't have those, you know, whatever you do now. But the point is, you know, everybody wants the Messiah, and they're looking for the Messiah. And so here's testimony, here's prophecy, here's the Word of God. And a date is given. Times are given. And so, again, now, commentators are going to argue about these dates. They're going to argue about the 445. Some are going to say it was earlier. Some are going to say it was later. The point is, you know, it already happened. Messiah has come. He came. He lived a perfect life. And he died on a cross to pay for our sins. Amen. But it is kind of interesting. And so I wanted to give you this. Again, we have three units here. And let me just show you a formula. All right? Just one formula. And it's kind of fun to do. And in fact, I'm not going to... I wrote on there 476 years. That is okay, it's fine, but I've got even something better that I think will help. That can be confusing because of the zero, no zero in a timeline and all that kind of stuff. But here's a good calculation, all right? The ancient Jewish calendar. Look, if you will, at Genesis 7, verse 11. Now, all I'm going to do is I am going to show you the reason that the Jews would have 360 days in a year instead of 365. Genesis 7, verse 11. Now, they did different ways to make all that work, and our purpose is not to get into all that. But here's just an interesting little thing. Genesis 7, 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. So we're going to go back to Noah, and we're going to see that the second month, the 17th day of the month. So I just wrote down, second month, 17th day. All right? So what happened? The flood. The rains came down and the floods came up. Amen? All right? So that took place. When was it? Second month, 17th day. Then Genesis 7, verse 24 does give us another little idea here. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So I wrote that down, 150 days. So now I know that on the second month, the 17th day, there's the flood began, all right? And I know that it the flood was there for 150 days. Genesis 8 and verse 3, again it repeats, the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. So there's our 150 again, just reiterating what it said in verse 24. But here's an interesting thing. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. You say, well, what's that tell me? Well, it tells me I have a calculation here to understand how many days they were looking at in a month. And so the flood began, the rains came down the second month, the 17th day, and then the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. And I know that was a period of 150 days. Are you with me? Okay? So I have the second month, 17th day, till the seventh month, the 17th day. How many months is that? 5 months. Okay? So I know that's 5 months. And how many days was that 5 months? 150. How many days are in a month? 30. Okay, so the calculation, again, that's just one of those things. Certainly I didn't find that on my own. That's, you know, you look at commentaries. Anyway, so you come to 30 days per month. And so that's where the Jews, it's one of the ways that they have this, what we call the ancient Jewish calendar, of 360 days per year. So all I did was I take the, obviously, if there's 30 days in a month, 12 months, that's 360. 12 times 30 is 360. All right. And so 360 days per year. And now, is that 360 day, does that ever show up again? In other words, are we just kind of reaching for this thing? Are we just kind of, obviously there are other books, there's other history books and all of that, but is there anything else in Scripture where we see a significance of 360 days per year? Anybody know? All right, good. Then I'll show you. Look at, where'd it go here? Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 11. We will deal with this again. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 2. Revelation 11 verse 2. I got too many things going on up here. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. All right, so we have a 42-month period. And so we have to now find out, okay, how is that significant? A 42-month period. Look at verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. 1,260. So we have 42 months, and we have 1,260 days. So if you were to divide, you would come up with how many days in a month? 30. Again. So again, this is a Jewish prophecy. It deals with Israel. It deals with the Jews. And again, we see our... So when you come up with 1,260 days, and you're talking then about you know, how many months this is, you come up with 30 days in a month. So again, it is not an accident. It is not, it would be odd to us because of our calendar, but we would have to kind of understand this calendar. Again, we have Revelation 13:5. I think this is right. Revelation 13:5. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And let's see, Revelation 12:6, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,260. There's 1,260. Again, you just have these numbers that are given out. 1,260 doesn't mean anything to us unless there are 30 days in a month. You get to the 42 months times 30 days is 1,260 days. And three and a half times, when we get into the three and a half times, three and a half times 360, again, there is 1,260 again. So the middle of the tribulation time, if we took three and a half, the middle of seven, three and a half, if we took that times 365, you come up with, I don't know what the number is, but it's not, it's kind of an odd number, but if you take it times 360, there's your number, 1,260. We will deal with that later on, and I just bring that out just to say, you know, this isn't an odd thing. I'm just saying 1,260 days with our calendar, that's, yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, we don't see that anywhere, but with the Jewish calendar, 1,260 is... The period of time that is used several times talking about the tribulation, and corresponds very well with Revelation. So I say all that to say this, and I know I'm taking a lot of time here, but I think it's good. So if you take the decree from the book of Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem, that is March 14th, 445 BC. None of us were born. yet. If you take that decree, and now we need to know how many days. All right, so I'm going to take, and I did this on my little timeline here. 483 years times 360 days. I'm not going to use our calendar. I'm going to use the Jewish calendar that we were just talking about, which is 360 days. Okay, so if you take 483 years times 360 days, you get 173,880 days. All right? Now, I went ahead and got into years, but let's not do that, because that can be even more confusing than all of this, and I'm trying to keep this simple. 173,880 days. So from the book of Nehemiah, from the command to rebuild Jerusalem, it is 173,880 days till something happens with the Messiah. The Bible simply says in Daniel, it says, unto the Messiah, the Prince. Okay, we have that timeline. Very, very clearly, we have a timeline here of period. Now again, there's a lot involved in these calculations. It doesn't just jump out and say, okay, on this date, something will happen. Okay, I understand that. And again, this has already happened. It's already taken place. But to me, it's exciting just to see that there were people that were kind of figuring out. There were wise men that had an idea. And how did they have an idea of the Messiah? Well, they had an idea from the Scripture. And so this calculation, March 14th, 445 BC, the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls, the streets, everything. That date, add 173,880 days to that date, and you get April 6th, AD 32. Amen. And so you say, fantastic. That is wonderful. It is kind of exciting. Well, what happened on April 6th, AD 32? Well, let me get out my phone and I'll Google it. No. Anyway, look at Luke 19, verse 37. Luke 19. And again, understand, there are so many views, ideas, and everything else about, you know, these things. It's what I think. Luke 19, verse 37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Of course, this is known as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the key thing that I think of this passage, and there are certainly other passages that talk about this, but notice what Jesus says in verse 32, and to me this is important. Start at verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And it's like you could have known because it was there. You could have known that this is the day. Of course, the Jews reject Jesus, as we know. They reject him as the Messiah, and he's crucified. And we understand all of that. But they could have known that he is the Messiah. And I believe that is the day. I believe that that with the calculations and everything that we have, that this unto Messiah the Prince is talking about the triumphal entry. And so that then completes the 69 weeks. And within that time, all the things that God said were going to happen, of all those things, many of those things did take place within that time period. Of course, obviously, we have 1 week of that period left. All right, so I believe the event in the life of Messiah is the triumphal entry. I believe careful study of Daniel would have alerted them to expect something at this time. And so we come now to, on your little picture here, we come to the end of that 69 weeks. Messiah, I've written in there, Luke 19, verse 37, 38, and 42, the date AD 32. And so we've come to that place in that. Now, here's where it, I mean, it's just exciting because now we have a key word in verse 26. I have it circled in my Bible, and it is the word after. Okay, so there are 69 weeks. Clearly, Scripture has said there is a period of 7 weeks. Number two, there is a period of 62 weeks. And in our minds, we would just automatically think, okay, well, this must be the next week then, but it doesn't say that. It just says after 62 weeks. Okay, after the 7 weeks and then the 62 weeks after that, two events are going to take place. And very, very clearly, okay, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, after 62 weeks. So we know then that Messiah is going to be cut off, and what else is going to happen? It says, and the people of the prince that shall come. That's an amazing, amazing prophecy. The people of the prince that shall come. Now, that prince that shall come is talking about the Antichrist. But the people of him, and as we studied Daniel, it was very easy back then because we were thinking this way, but that was the Roman Empire, or the renewed Roman Empire is where the Antichrist will come from. And it says, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And there would be the destruction then of Jerusalem. So that is going to happen after the Messiah, this period of 62 weeks, which is ultimately a period of 69 weeks. All right? So after that, two things were going to take place. Now, all of that corresponds very well with Scripture in the book of Daniel. Again, it was very easy to remember that as we were studying Daniel. But remember our image of Daniel and the kingdoms, the worldwide kingdoms that the Bible talked about in Daniel. And there was an image, the soldier, the man, the head of gold representing Babylon, and of course the legs then ended up being the Roman Empire. And one was, you know, one leg represents east and the other one was west, and of course that is how the Roman Empire was. And then there was a beast also in Daniel chapter 7, and that also had significance in representing, again, the four world empires. That's all there's ever been, all right? But then there will be the one that comes out of that Roman Empire on the feet of the image. It was the mixture of iron and clay, and that is also going to be a world empire. And Daniel, we studied all of that, and that is the future empire of the Antichrist, and the ten-horned stage of the fourth beast, and all of that, all right? So you know, all of this ties together, and again, to spend a lot of time, we are simply, the death of Christ takes place between the 69th and the 70th week. Also, the church age takes place. That was not seen as far as the significance to God dealing with Israel. And the church age would take place. We are in that age at this time, and so we're still waiting. Jesus would be crucified, and Jerusalem would be destroyed, which that did take place in AD 70. And so all those things, so everything has taken place now that the 70-week prophecy tells us about, except for the fact of that last period of 7 years, which we call the tribulation. And so, why do we get into all this? We get into all this because now we wait for the rapture to take place, that one event that starts everything off, that one event that will start off this final week of God dealing with Israel. Do not misunderstand. The tribulation, it's a terrible, terrible thing as God deals with Israel, but obviously it affects everybody. We believe that we will not be here. We believe that we'll be gone, and we'll be with the Lord. We'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll have the judgment seat of Christ. And those are all good things. Those are not bad things. And that'll be a blessing. But so we now can focus. And that's why I went through all this. I hope it's been helpful. I have gone very, very fast. But we now can focus on, okay, the next event. And I'm going to spend a little time talking about the rapture. We'll start on that next week. And we'll be in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And talk some about the rapture. That is what we believe is the next thing, the next event to take place. Could happen any time. Could happen before we get out of here. Could happen while the choir's singing their opener. It could happen while the preaching's going on. You know, it could just happen any time, and we'll be gone. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for us, and woe to the earth, because the tribulation then we'll start. I think the most exciting thing, and as I am looking at my notes, which I wrote these, and just have been adding to them, but these are several weeks old. But I'm looking at things happening in our day, and you can see how this tribulation is going to pan out. You can get an idea of some of the things that are going to take place. And the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel. There's going to be a covenant made. And so in my mind, I think of, and don't get me wrong, I'm not being political, but we did have an event just take place called the Democratic Convention where they, oh, by the way, we like Israel, I think. You know, well, oh, by the way, Israel's okay. You know, let's vote on this. Shh, don't say no. You know, it's just all politics. There's going to be, see, we you know, when people studied years ago, when they when they studied the end times, or there had to be some difficult. How somebody rise to so much power? How are they given so much power? I mean, there's going to be death taking place, and yet people are going to. Did we just see that? Did we just see one of our ambassadors assassinated? And our people are saying, well, it's really our own fault. You know, that we shouldn't make documentaries against their religion. Are they serious? I mean, are they serious? But you know what? People are buying that. They are. Yeah, you know that. Yeah, yeah. Should we ever tolerate terrorists killing our people, and to the point where, you know, well, we really didn't, we did, we should never tolerate that stuff. Right. Now, so here we are, you know, and now you see, because the spin, what the media says, what people think, because they have been trained now for many, many years that we're the bad guys. Here in America. Do you know there's a lot of Americans that really think we are the bad guys? And we always have been the bad guys. Because they don't get taught the truth in history class. I'm just saying, it is gonna be a political, we just years ago they did not, I don't think people could see or imagine politics being such a factor. And when I get into Revelation chapter 6 and I see the white horse, you know, I'm seeing a political machine that had didn't just start. It's been going on for years. I'm going to talk this morning about a documentary called The Agenda that Brother Harnden has given to me, and I've seen it now a couple times, and we're going to give you an opportunity to see it if you'd like to. But you know, communism's not dead. But even deeper than that, Satanism's not dead. And I'm going to tell you, folks, honestly, this stuff. Now you say, well, preacher, do you really want to stop the tribulation? Look, it's not up to us to stop, start, or whatever. That's all God's timetable. But any time the forces of hell get anything over on us, it ought to upset us. And we've been gotten over for a long, long time. This nation needs revival. It is our only hope, and it's going to come from places like this. It isn't going to come through the election. I can tell you that. you're not going to vote in revival. Okay, it's going to come from places like this. You say, you know, I'm getting tired. That's exactly what Satan wants. He just wants us to get tired and just say, you know what? We're outnumbered. We can't. We're not. We're more than conquerors. But you know, it is. It should break our hearts that our country just keeps going down, and it's headed. But now you can see how. You know, and as we get into Revelation 6, and you think about the Antichrist, you think about the white horse, and you look at that. Come on, it should be so obvious how that can happen. Notice the guy on the white horse. He has a bow, but he doesn't have an arrow. Should be very. There's things you should notice. No arrow. Something to think about. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, and thank you that we are going to be gone during this terrible time. As we get into the tribulation, there is no other way to describe what it's going to be like. Just the fact that the influence of the Holy Spirit in believers will be gone, it's a scary, scary thought. Those who believe in life, those who believe in doing right, those who believe and are convicted about truth, and they're going to all be gone. I just can't even imagine how literally hell is going to be present on the face of this earth. Demons and their influence and the devil, the father of lies. God, it's going to be a terrible thing. I pray, Father, that we'll do our very best to reach as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus, that they'd not be left behind. If we say we love anyone, we'd want them to know the gospel so they wouldn't be left behind. Please speak to our hearts now. Give us a great morning service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.